The Earl of Hereford and Worcester was a man known throughout England. Much like William Marshall or Hubert de Burgh, Christopher de Lorne had the reputation of power, wisdom, and connections to the crown, but unlike the other two, when it came to the de Lorne dynasty, there was much more fear and admiration in the mix. The man and his brother David had seen much service in the name of Richard, much of it in the Levant and in France, and that made them more experienced warriors than most. The de Lorne war machine was legendary. It was a legendary status that came with responsibility, however. The de Lorne's had held the marches for years, and quite ably, so when there was trouble along any stretch of the Welsh marches, all roads seemed to point to de Lorne as a source of aid. However, the most recent trouble experienced along the northern stretch of the marches in Shropshire was something different from the usual raiding or isolated skirmishes. This had the earmark of conquest, much as a similar surge several years ago had. As Christopher had read the missives from the north, from the Earl of Shropshire no less, he couldn't help the sense of foreboding that had swept him. He didn't want to think about the potential for another devastating surge against the borders, but that's exactly what this seemed to be. What's more, Shropshire seemed to put a name to all of the chaos. De Lorne. Christopher had recognized the name and immediately sent for someone he suspected might have more information on it. Christopher sat on Shropshire's missive for 8 days, the time it took for him to send a missive to Whitebrook in Wales and for the man he sent for to make his way to Lioncross. But once that man appeared, Christopher had convened all of his knights, with the exception of his brother, who was in Kent, to discuss the missive from Shropshire. It was a bright afternoon in late May when de Lorne assembled his men in his richly appointed solar in the bowels of Lioncross. The old castle had stood on that location longer than any other structure on the border. It had once been a Roman outpost and a church before it had been incorporated into a castle. Therefore, the walls around them held more of a sense of experience and doom than most. All of the men could feel it, particularly the man that had ridden from his home in Wales just due west of Gloucester. Sir Rod de Tituan, a handsome man with black hair and lively blue eyes, wasn't exactly sure why he had been summoned by the great de Lorne, but he knew it couldn't be good. Something was brewing, and Christopher evidently wanted him to be a part of it. Having arrived from Wales only an hour before, he was seated in the solar with a cup of good wine and a platter of food at his fingertips. The knights who wandered in to join him in their wait for de Lorne were all men he had fought with. He liked seeing his old friends again. De Tituan! Edward de Wolfe, Christopher's right-hand man, smiled warmly at Rod as he entered the room. A tall man with golden hazel eyes, he was brilliant and politically savvy, and it was rare that Christopher made a move without him. He reached out to clap Rod on the shoulder. It has been a long time since I last lay eyes upon your ugly face. Rod grinned. A year at least, he said. It was last February, I believe. I've been 15 months without your hideous hide, and I've considered myself blessed. Edward laughed loudly, and moved to take a second cup of wine from the pitcher on the table next to Rod. Blessed indeed, he scoffed. You have missed me terribly, admit it. Rod, still grinning, took a long drink of wine. Never, he said staunchly. But because I do not wish to see you weep like a woman, I will say that I am somewhat pleased to see you. Edward clinked his earthenware cup against Rod's in a toasting gesture. As am I, he said quietly, taking a long drink. How is it at Bronless Castle these days? Rod shrugged. I spend my time between Bronless with my grandfather and Whitebrook with my mother, he said. Then he sobered dramatically as sad memories came to the forefront. She's not the same since Rhys's death, you know. Nothing brings her comfort except for Rhys's son. Maddox seems to be the only one she will warm to these days. My father is very worried for her. Edward's expression softened. Your brother was a great man, he said, deep sorrow in his tone. I still cannot believe. That is to say, I keep expecting him to walk through the door at any moment. The man was so big and powerful and vital. I cannot accept that he is gone. I cannot accept that Lawrence is gone either. That raid on Ludlow last February was a particularly devastating one. We lost two of the best knights I've ever known. Rod nodded faintly, thinking on his older brother, Rhys Dubois. He was his half-brother, actually, a massive man of uncanny strength and skill. Last year, Rhys had been entrusted with a mission of vital importance and ended up falling in love with a woman he had been sworn to protect. He had lost his life trying to keep her safe. At least that was the story everyone knew.